Welcome to Real Questions. I'm David Brown. It's Sunday evening with all of its splendor. It's time for another exciting edition of Real Questions. Tonight we have a lot to talk about because so much is going on, and some of which we've spoken about at length many times. To continue to talk about it would be redundant. I think we sort of know what the problems are, and we've sort of come to some conclusions as to what needs to happen to resolve some of these issues. So I kind of don't want to deal with that tonight. But on the other hand, if it soothes you and if it pleases you, then we can talk about it. So tonight I do have a semi-open forum to talk about many of the things that are going on in and around our community. Let me at least do some housekeeping things before we get into tonight's show. You can listen to us on the web at weaa.org. I'm telling that for the people, or you can tune in on TuneIn and click on WEAA, and the reason, or you can hit the WEAA app. And I'm saying that because I know a number of people are coming back from the beaches, and folks have already called and said that I'm driving back from Sandy Point, and people are saying I'm coming back from Ocean City, and so we're going to listen all the way down the road. So these are other alternatives that you can use to listen if you're out of the listening range. So I just want you to know, just because you're not in range doesn't mean you can't continue to listen. So you can do that by going to those apps and tuning in. In addition to that, first-time callers are always welcome. I love to hear from you. You can give us a call at 410-319-8888. That's 410-319-8888. That's the number to call. And for our regular listeners and, of course, first-time callers, we had, I think, last week, we had 12 or 14, I think it was, first-time callers calling from out of Washington and all around the area. So we do get a number of first-time callers every now and then. And you're still welcome to participate into this audience and come on in and talk with us. We'd love to have your opinions as well. Before I go any further, I want to dedicate tonight's show to an advocate, a stalwart advocate, and certainly one of those unsung heroes who we don't hear a lot about, but has always been on the front lines while others have been sidelined it. And this gentleman has fought tirelessly for many of the things that we talk about on this show on a regular basis. His name is Aaron Wilkes, who passed away last week. And I want to dedicate tonight's show to Aaron Wilkes, an ambassador in East Baltimore, and certainly one of the classic pioneers of the struggle. And so our thoughts and prayers go out to the family of Aaron Wilkes. And certainly your presence in this community and the work that you've done has not gone unnoticed, and it will be cherished. And I'm hoping that other Aaron Wilkes will now step up to the plate and begin to take over where you were. And so we thank you for that which you have done in the past, okay? And, of course, the life, the legacy of Aaron Wilkes certainly will be discussed more. But I do want to dedicate tonight's show to him. And many of you know him. Brother Aaron called this show on a regular basis. And so we do appreciate the fact that at least many of you have had a chance to acknowledge him and to pay your respects to the family. And we'll tell you more as things are forthcoming. Tonight, I want to start off tonight's show by talking to a friend of mine. I haven't spoken to in a while, and it was kind of interesting because when I spoke to him on, I think it was Thursday of last week, you know, so what's new, man? What's going on? And I know he's always doing something. This gentleman has really been working tirelessly with trying to get things off the ground. And, you know, last week on the show, we talked about many of the programs that we need and things we need to do to get our young people involved. And this gentleman, he's been doing it for a while. He does a very good job of it. His name is William Newman. He is the executive director of the Inner City Youth Foundation. And William Newman, thanks for joining us tonight on Real Questions, and thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for having me, sir. How are you?
Fine. How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm better than him talking to you.
I know, man. Well, you know, it's interesting because, I mean, you've been on the show before, but every time you seem to outdo your last endeavor, because, I mean, I know that you certainly have been responsible for getting young people involved in professional sports. And I say that because, you know, you have taken thousands of kids to Orioles games, to Ravens games, to Nationals games in Washington, to Redskins games. And I remember one game that I think they went to see L.A. Lakers. I'm sorry didn't get to go on that trip.
When Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, when Kobe's playing. Look, I think that
one
was
of
set up.
Yeah. One of your favorite players.
Right. I think I got set up on that one because, you know, I'm the Kobe fan.
Right.
I was like, so y'all going to see the Lakers without me? Okay, all right, cool. No.
David, but I do want to say one thing before we get into about, you know, the foundation and all. I had the opportunity to meet Aaron once or twice.
Yes, Aaron Wilkes, yes.
Yeah, and I didn't know him well, but I did know of his work and the kind of things that he did and all. So I'm sorry to hear about that, and my condolences, as you said, my condolences go out to he and his family.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, and I'm sure they appreciate it, too. Aaron was another one who, again, as I said, I call them the unsung heroes, the silent heroes who are not complaining and not just talking about what needs to be done, but who are actually engaged in the work and doing the work, and you have been doing that. With your Inner City Foundation for a while, and many of you,
1999.
Yeah, many of you don't know that William Newman was a sportscaster and used to do sports. And you know, in fact, he did sports. I even did sports, believe it or not. I did play-by-play for the Bay Sox when they were here in Baltimore at. Before they got their own stadium, they were at Memorial Stadium, the old Orioles Stadium, I was the first African American to do play-by-play for an Orioles ball club, you know, and
organization.
Yeah, for the organization.
And you were like the pioneer. And look, and let me give you another kudo. Shortly after that, that's when they started doing a play-by-play program that I was a part of.
Yes.
For African Americans.
Yes.
John Miller started that. Who now does the play-by-play for the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, man, it was a tough industry to crack. And you know, I miss those days. And we hung out at the ballpark, and it was a great time. And I thank God for the opportunity of being a pioneer. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, and also, like I said, and I guess that's kind of what led me to what I'm doing now.
Yes. Yeah, the love of the game and the love for people and wanting to see our kids get a better opportunity. Tell us about the Inner City Youth Foundation.
Well, we're the Inner City Suburban Youth Foundation, and what we do is we provide scholarships, educational field trips, mentoring and tutoring to inner city and suburban students between the ages of 6 to 17. As long as they maintain good attendance, good conduct, and at least a B average, they remain and are eligible our programs until they are 17 years of age. And one of the things, the key things that what we try to do is we try to expose them to field trips. We take them to not just to ball games. We've taken them to White House tours. We've done tours to Annapolis, the State House in Annapolis. We've taken them to museums, the Great Blacks and Wax Museum. And we're planning a trip next month for that. So, you know, we try to expose them to things, show them that there's another side other than being in the hood.
Absolutely. And which leads me, we're talking about being in the hood. Many of our kids are confined to, you know, a 5-block radius of where they live. It's unfortunate, but it's a reality that we have to face. And they don't really get to venture outside of that 5-mile radius to see what the rest of the world is like. I just had a conversation as I was coming to the station with one of my young people, and she is now talking about, you know, her future, and I want her to see the rest of the world. I mean, that's the whole point. There is a whole world out there, and you have been helping to expose kids to the rest of the world. Where are you taking kids this time, William?
We're flying. At the end of this month, we're going to fly the kids to Florida to see the Orioles play the Tampa Bay Rays. And this time, it's going to be a little different from last year when we flew them to Chicago. The Tampa Bay Rays have been very gracious, and they're saying that they're going to have the kids down on the field for batting practice. And I mean, they're really going to spice it up for us.
I mean, this is incredible. Not only that, the hotels are going to feed the kids, and
the hotel's going to feed the kids. And I mean, it's going to be great. And look, all this we didn't ask for. We just told them, look, this is what we want to do. And they just said, okay, then fine. Come down and we'll take care of you.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because many people don't know that there are many, many, many philanthropic organizations that really want to help.
Yes.
And if you would utilize the money properly, they'd be more willing to help bail out some of our kids and expose them to other things.
You are absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. And that's what, you know, that's what we're about. We're about, you know, getting them out there, getting them exposed. And like it's like going to be about a dozen students this year. Last year was 10. This year's 12. So hopefully next year will be 15. So, you know, the numbers are getting greater.
Yeah, but every little bit helps. I mean, you're doing your part.
And
it doesn't cost the kids anything.
Yeah, and Southwest Airlines, who is our major sponsor, they're doing a great job with promoting it and pushing for it. And and I'm just the facilitator, that's all.
Yeah, man. Well, I want to take the time to thank you because I know how hard it has been for you to try to get money, to try to get tickets, and you just, you know, you're like an advocate for this stuff. You fight for it, and then it's been many times you say, David, look, I can't fail. We need a bunch of kids because many people don't know that once you get this stuff, once you're able to finance these events, the key is turnout. You've got to get people to participate.
Yeah.
And that sometimes is not as easy as it sounds.
It's not. It when we first began in 1999, we actually, I actually went to Peter Angelos face to face. I had a meeting with him. And I told him that we want to start bringing African American kids down to baseball. And he was very gracious. And he told me, he set up a meeting with his son, Tom Angelos, and he said, you go to him and we'll give you anything you want. And they did. And that's kind of how
we're talking about
started.
Peter Angelos, the owners of the Orioles, yes.
We're talking about Peter Angelos, the owner of the Orioles, and he was very gracious. And he said, Dr. Tom, to speak to me in his busy schedule.
That's great.
By the way, I had to sit outside of his office for 3 hours before I finally got to see him.
But it was worth it.
Okay, too. It was worth it.
Yeah.
It was worth it. And those are the kinds of things that you have to do in order to get where, you know, to get to a certain point sometimes.
Yeah, I know. But this is the part that kind of disheartened me on Thursday when you're trying to take kids down to Florida. You're paying all of the expenses and you're going to take very good care of them, but then you still have the problem of trying to get parents to support in the sense of at least letting the child go or preparing them to get out of here. Tell us some of the concerns you have.
Well, some of the concerns I have is I put it out there to several families, and I said, well, look, you know, we'll take your kids, blah, 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 blah. I gave them the dates and all. I said, no. And we'll take care of everything. And they never got back to me, first of all. And then second, some of them that did get back to me said, well, no, we won't be able to do it. And that part I don't understand.
Yeah, well,
I still don't understand it.
Well, let me help you. Let me help encourage you. Sometimes people fear. Fear is false evidence appearing real. And and people have fears. I mean, if your parent has not been outside of a 5-mile radius, well, to think that I might let my son or my daughter go someplace that I've never been, that sometimes is a very difficult task for some parents, especially if they've been exposed. And then some of it, William, I hate to say, is just, you know, well, I don't even know how to say this either.
And I know where you're going with this one. And it's like, and that's the thing that, you know, just I have concerns about. But it's not going to deter me from continuing to doing what I want to do, because I'm going to continue to do this. Because this is something that came to me a long time ago. You and I shared this a long time ago.
I mean,
you and I go way back.
Absolutely.
So we've been talking about this for years now. So it's gonna. I'm gonna continue my task and continue my journey. Okay.
Yeah. Well, keep the faith too. That's what Adam Clayton Powell said. Keep the faith, baby. You know. That was his line.
How about that? Well, David, you know what? And again. Now, are you going to go with us next year? Now, look, I'm going to put you on the spot now. Are you going with us? We're going to try to go to Los Angeles.
If I can see the Lakers, I'm going.
Oh, is that your contingency?
That's my contingency, man.
Is that your contingency?
Yeah, okay. if I'm precluded from the Lakers, I don't know if I'm going. I'm just teasing. I will be in Los Angeles. And as a matter of fact, I might try to call in and even do a show from Los Angeles with the kids.
How about that?
So
wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, we could take it to the next level.
Well, guess what? But guess what? And guess what? A little surprise. You know, I met Magic Johnson, right? And
he
offered to sponsor us.
Wow.
You know that, right?
Well, that'll be fantastic. Yeah, let's do that. I'll go to L.A. We'll do a show.
You know, you'll go to L.A.?
It won't be.
I was thinking maybe the Dodgers.
Okay. All right. I'll do the Dodgers. I do have a Dodgers shirt.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do. I have a Dodgers jersey, one of the original ones. And I got it from my father, and now I can fit it. So, yeah, I have it. So let's go. Yeah, let's go to L.A. Let's go to L.A. Let's do a show from L.A.
Okay.
And let's do it up big. And certainly we have to thank all of the people who have really supported you in this effort.
And I just wanted to say this, is that we can use all the support we can get, financial support that we can get. So,
how do people support you?
Make donations to our organization. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess, how can we do that? Just give my phone number or whatever?
Give your phone number.
443-742-2974. So we can keep it rolling.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yeah, give the number again, because people are slow.
443-742-2974.
William, I'm really proud of what you've been doing and the efforts that you've put out for so long. And certainly, yeah, definitely. I mean, I know many kids who had never been to a professional soccer game before. And, I mean, I remember when we used to go to Baltimore Blast games and take 40, 50 kids and feed them, give them pizza, buy souvenirs, the whole bit, have the bus pick them up and drop them off. And just incredible. They got a chance to do stuff like that. And even when the UFL, what is it? U.S. What's the other football team that used to be here?
You're talking about
USFL.
Yeah, right. USFL. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we went to some of those games and the Stallions and others, you know. So you've been around a while. I mean, even when I could take some kids to Coppin when I used to do play-by-play for Coppin State Eagles under Coach Fang Mitchell. And
yes, sir.
So, you know, it's just you've been incredible, man, in this industry. And many of you don't know that William and I work together. Excuse me. We worked together at WBGR back in the day. It was the Gospel Dream Team. Yeah.
Dream Team. I was part of the Dream Team.
You were part of the Dream Team, and William was our sports guy. I did, of course, news and public affairs then. So you have a long-standing history in this industry, and you've done quite well, and we do appreciate it.
Well, David, I just want to add one other thing to this. It's the fact that, speaking of soccer, we're planning to do a big soccer gala in the fall.
Oh, okay.
Down at
okay.
Royal Farm Arena. We're going to come on again. I'll come on again and let everybody know about it. And we're going to have a party for the kids and that kind of thing, okay?
Fantastic.
And you're welcome to bring your granddaughter and wife and all, okay?
You know,
like you did before.
That's like you did before. Yeah, yeah. My parents used to come out to the games.
Right.
My mother and father.
Right. So yep. We're going to do that again, okay? It's going to be like old time.
Okay.
How about that?
You got it, man. That sounds great. William, hang on a second. I got a couple people. I got a first-time caller. Maybe they want to ask you a question. Hang on.
All right. Okay.
410-319-8888 is the number to call. Let's go to Tiasana. Tiasana, you're on the air.
How are you both?
Good evening.
Hello. Hi.
Good evening.
I just want to make a quick comment. I've been doing nonprofit work for a while, and I'm an educator. And one of the things I just see everywhere, not just Baltimore specific, but as we're working with our community, is that we have people in one bucket who are, like, making money and raising money. We have people over on the other side who are, like, with the kids, and there seems to be a disconnect. And so, Mr. Newman, you mentioned not having, being able to get kids to actually participate. And I just want us to, like, I'm trying to figure out ways. I'm willing to be a part of the solution, not just raising a problem. But how do we create the relationship? Because if someone I didn't know walked up to me and said, I'm going to take your kid to L.A., and I don't know you, it's going to be hard for me. I'm going to be honest with you. And I don't have children, but I have raised other people's children. And without that relationship of consistency and, you know, knowing who you are before I put my child on a plane across the country, it sounds great. But that relationship of who those people are, that connection, that everyday connection, that's the part that seems to be missing. Because there are plenty of children, for sure. But how are we, you know, how are you guys building relationships with young people to get them interested and to know that, and to ease the minds of the parents to allow you to take their kids across the country, no matter what the, you know, how great it is. I don't know you, and I'm not going to just let you take my kids across the country.
Okay, now I'm glad, you know what, that's a very good question that you're asking. But let me just break it down to you the way it works, the way that this, what we do works. Say, for example, like you say you do nonprofit work with young people, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, I'll go to you and I'll say to you, we're planning this trip to go to Florida, okay? You contact, you know, I'm sure you have parents or whatever. You contact the parents. You let them know. I'll say, well, you can take maybe four kids. Okay? Then you contact their parents or whatever. Then it's their responsibility. I mean, we don't just take them there. They have to have a guardian to take them or a mentor taking them. We don't just do that.
Okay.
Is that what you needed to know?
Well, that's a part of it too, but I'm just trying to figure out how we can make sure that kids are coming. Because I've done events and I've worked with people where we have these awesome things, we have all this food and all this stuff, and then no one comes. And what I've found out, I mean, what I've learned over, you know, the course of the time that I've done these things, is that we have to have those people on the inside who are bringing the people. Because again, I'm new to the city. But in other spaces, same thing. If someone was doing an event, I need to make sure the insiders have connected the organization. Otherwise, it's empty. There's no one there. So I don't care how much money you raise or how much, you know, free stuff you have to give away. If no one shows up, then your event's a failure. You know what I mean? And so I'm just trying to figure out ways that
you can connect the dots.
Right. That's what I
okay.
want. I want that
in
between.
You're absolutely. But fortunately for us, we have certain people within our organization, within our infrastructure, we have people that we can connect to that will get a certain amount of students to go on the trips. But what I was saying to David earlier, is the fact that there were some families that I reached out to personally and told them, well, your family is welcome to go. And they never, some of them never got back to me. And then the ones that did get back to me rejected it.
Yeah, and so in other words, the bottom line is that these kids are not going unsupervised. And certainly, yes, if you're going to take somebody to Los Angeles, California, that may be a stretch without a parent or a guardian. Besides, I'm sure you, Mr. Newman, don't want the liability either.
No.
And so the bottom line is that it's a family opportunity.
Exactly. It's like a vacation for the family.
It's a vacation for the family. So you do get to participate, and, you know, a parent, guardian, whatever, if it can't be the parent, it could be an aunt or an uncle who could assist and accompany them, then that would make it work. Let's take another phone call here. I got Leo Barrows. Leo, you're on the air.
Yes. Good evening, everybody. How you doing?
Good.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Leo. And I want to thank you for what you do too, Leo, because Leo is the head of Roots and Scouting.
Roots and Scouting Incorporated. We just dedicated our youth service center today at 1820 North Bentlow Street. And thanks to the benevolence and generosity of Brother Doran Talley and his wife, Catherine, he's our education chair and education and scholarship chairperson. And anyone wishing to be a part of Roots of Scouting, we meet on the third Monday of every month. We're meeting on July the 17th, Monday, July 17th at 7 p.m. Give me a call at 443-413-2949. 443-413-2949 is my number if you're interested. We are a not-for-profit, federally tax-exempt group. And right on, Aaron Wilkes the Great. Aaron was a member of not only Roots of Scouting, but for a long time, the Committee of Concerned Citizens. What an outstanding, unsung hero, although he served as our historic person in terms of African history and culture in many ways. But he was our a chair of many events, and I can't think of a person more worthy of the dedication that you have expressed than Aaron Wilkes. And one last thing, just to say the areas I was concerned with, the Charlottesville, Virginia, the Ku Klux Klan was marching the other day. And if anybody has an inkling of what we ought to be protective of, we've got to be protective of those groups, whether they black or white, that are not in the interest of the poor and the black. And the Ku Klux Klan is protesting the removal of Confederate monuments. And I would add that there is a Confederate monument in Baltimore City, in my neighborhood in Bolton Hill, in the 1400 block of Mount Royal Avenue. And it is within the boundaries of Artscape. And it was erected in 1903. It's called Glorious Invictus. And it was erected by the Daughters of the Confederate States of America. So,
Leo, I got to pause and take a break. But listen, if you want to hang on a second, you can. I'll let you finish up on the other side.
I'll just hang on just for a minute.
Okay, William, stay with us. And those of you who are calling in, we'll get back to you on the other side of the break. I'm David Brown. This is Real Questions. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Welcome back to Real Questions. I'm David Brown, and I'm on the line tonight with William Newman, Executive Director of the Inner City Suburban Youth Foundation. And just before we went to the break, we were talking with Leo Barrows. He's the head of Roots of Scouting. And Leo, I wanted you to be able to finish up your points.
Let me wrap it up really quick. What I was saying about the Confederate statue in Bolton Hill in my neighborhood, erected in 1903 by the Daughters of the Confederacy, is that it's a beautiful marble statue. It's called Glorious Invictus, but it is not for a good purpose. It is about maintaining, that's why it's there, to maintain institutional racism and the prejudicial conduct that exists in our society when it comes to the existence of institutional racism. I think it's incumbent upon black people, and black men in particular, to protect our communities, to patrol our communities, work with the police when possible, but But we've got to protect our communities by any means necessary against black thugs or hoodlums or white racists who would do harm to our children and families. I leave you with this thought. Why is Dylann Roof still alive? He was sentenced to death. Are they going to take him back to Burger King? In fact, in point of fact, after what he did in South Carolina, they need to carry out the death penalty as prescribed by law. Thank you for listening.
Leo, before you leave, I wanted you to offer some advice, if possible, to William, who is trying to connect the dots and to get more participation in some of these programs that are being offered. How do you do it?
Well, we do it not just on social media and Facebook and computers. We do door-to-door campaigns, and he may be doing that as well. But we find when you knock on people's doors, and you don't do it by yourself, you have pairs of people, canvassers, who are out. You establish a rapport by virtue of meeting people on the ground, by talking with existing community organizations, block clubs, and neighborhood associations. But you've got to have a personal rapport and a venue for meeting people on the ground and not just leaving it to social media per se. They've got to know you, and it's got to be an eyeball-to-eyeball kind of handshake kind of understanding and agreement that you arrive at.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much, sir.
Very, very important. That canvassing and surveying live in person means everything. God bless you, and I wish you much success with your program.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Leo. Appreciate it. 410-319-8888 is the number to call. Let's go to Tyrone. Tyrone, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing?
All right. I just want to say that I don't want to thank gentlemen for the program. Everybody should get a chance to leave Baltimore. Everybody should leave Baltimore. You have some people, their whole universe is East Baltimore. They live there. They go to prison there at the penitentiary. They get buried in Greenbelt Cemetery. So that's not good. The whole universe should not be Baltimore City. It should not be, definitely not East Baltimore. You got broaden your horizons, and you should do the same for your children. I went to all those places the gentleman mentioned. I've been there. I worked in some of those places. My kids have been, out of the city several times and out of the state, and we've traveled and we've seen different things. I've been all over the world. I've been to the pyramids. I've been inside one of them. And the Cairo Museum. I hope he takes the kids to the museum when they're in Los Angeles, in places like that, some of the cultural, amenities of Los Angeles, and see the sites as well. I had a group that we had when I was in the military reserves in that. We went out to San Francisco, and we had a mission out there. But once the mission was over, I took the team out. We rented vans and we went to the city. We saw the amenities of the city and made sure everybody had a chance to understand what San Francisco was all about. We saw the Golden Gate Bridge and all the different sites in San Francisco. Because I think that when you go to a place, you should see what's special about that place. Not just visit the mall or go shopping, but you should always see what's special about that place. One more thing before I leave. I hope there's a nonprofit group that's looking to put these young people to work, okay, with some jobs. We can start advocating for that. And we should have it like Mary and Barry had in D.C. Any kid that wants a summer job should have one. We have a lot of impoverished kids in the city and impoverished families. And a summer job go a long way towards helping those people make it through the summer. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Tyrone. Appreciate it. 410-319-8888 is the number to call. Let's go to Ms. Ross. Thanks for hanging on. First-time caller. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. William and good folks here in Baltimore City. I am first want to say thank you for having such an organization as your nonprofit, and would like to gain information on how I could get my children involved.
Just you have the number? Do you have my number?
Yes, I did take your cell phone number down, and I did put it into my cell phone log, so I do have your phone number.
And
give me a call, and we can talk about it.
Okay, what were you going to ask me?
No, I was going to ask William, what about social media contacts?
We're on Facebook under Inner City Suburban Youth Foundation.
Inner City Suburban Youth Foundation? Okay.
Yes. And we're also And my email address is citysubfo@hotmail.com.
citysubfo@hotmail.com?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, one more time, William.
City, C-I-T-Y, sub, S-U-B, F as in Frank, O as in Oscar, @hotmail.com.
And I will offer also up to you a suggestion. I attend St. Bernard's Roman Catholic Church here on Emerson Avenue. We offer for the community free karate classes for anyone of any age to come. And the two gentlemen that do this provide uniforms, and it is also a nonprofit. One of the things that they did was they came in front of the church and they did a demonstration so that people could see firsthand what their children would be getting involved in. And being that I work for nonprofits in the past, I would also suggest to you that going to schools where the age groups of these children that you're trying to reach out to will see your face and get familiar with you would be also a possibility. And the previous children that may have gone through your program coming out and showing off like what they learned and what they did as a showcasing to the future children that you're trying to tap into will also be beneficial.
Well, I have a question. Did you say St. Bernardine's?
I did, yes.
Well, guess what?
What?
What is his name? Father, I cannot think of his name. But we had a program at St. Bernardine's about 10 years ago.
So you're talking about Father Miller, who has passed on.
Father who?
Father Edward Miller.
Yes, Father Miller.
Yes.
Oh, he's.
Yes, he passed away. Yeah, we all miss him. But we have a great pastor, Father Rich Mazzelli, who has was under his, kind of like he was an intern, and he learned some of the ways through Father Miller. He does an excellent job, so.
And David, I believe your cousin.
Yeah, my cousin worked there. Yeah, she was a secretary at the church there.
Who was your cousin?
Natalie Tucker.
Natalie Tucker.
Oh, okay.
And we guess what we did there?
What did you do?
A program, a golf program. David, what was the golf course where they didn't allow blacks?
Right here.
Didn't allow African Americans.
Yeah.
Remember we did a story on that?
Yes, I do.
And I think it's out there on Route 40. I can't think of the name of the golf course. We actually
It's out near Enchanted Forest.
Exactly. I cannot think of the name of it, but we had actually this professional golfer was actually training African American young men to play golf.
Really?
Yeah, we set up a program for two summers.
Yeah,
I think I was still in school. I didn't have children then, so I wouldn't know anything about it.
This was in the early 2000s. We actually set a program with Father Miller where the guy, I cannot think of the gentleman's name, nice gentleman. He would take the golf course, let the students come out there, and he would train them on that golf course.
Oh yeah, they fed him and everything, you know, and
they fed him and everything.
And we used to tease them and say, "Well, look, would you like an Arnold Palmer?" you know, and the thing, it was funny because our kids really only knew it as half and half.
Right, and
as David said earlier, we've done a little bit of everything. If you name it, we've done it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, the work is being done, but I appreciate it. Thanks for the call, too.
Thank you, and God bless you all.
All right. Thank you.
Bless you, too.
William, before I let you go here, please do me a favor. Let people know how they can reach you, how they can find out more about the Inner City Suburban Youth Foundation, and give all your contacts, including social media.
Okay. All right. We're on Facebook under Inner City Suburban Youth Foundation. We're under email address is city, C-I-T-Y, sub, S-U-B, F as in Frank, O as in Oscar, @hotmail.com. And then my phone number is 443-742-2974. And I answer all calls. Okay?
William, when you come back from
Florida,
yes, when you come back from Florida, I want some of the kids to come on to talk about their experience.
We're going to do that.
I think that's a very great idea, and you should really post photos of them interacting with the Devil Rays and others, and being down on the field. All of that stuff needs to be posted on your social media page, so that we can send it out also. So we're looking forward to it.
Well, David, I really do appreciate you. You've always been a good friend to me, you know, and I really do appreciate your help.
Hello? Absolutely. I always love it when there's somebody that I know is genuinely doing something for young people. So that's, you know, vitally important, because they're not our future, as most people say. They are our today. So,
and one other thing I want to say to you before I let you go. I'm so glad I got you on the air. I got you committed that you going next year to California with us. I'm so glad I got you committed.
Yeah, well, I'm committed now because, you know, Magic was the main man. What can I say, you know?
So
I'll go see
that?
Him, you know.
Okay.
It's only three people I would actually kind of wanted to check out in L.A. And I've seen a bunch of people because I know my wife and I, we've seen Chris Tucker, and we've seen just loads of people in L.A. But I always wanted to meet Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, and Kobe Bryant. So one out of three is not bad.
Well, guess what, maybe we'll be able to do it. Okay,
yeah, we'll see what we can do. William, keep up the good work, man.
Thank you so much, David, and you have a blessed evening.
You too, have a blessed evening.
Take care, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
410-319-8888 is the number to call. I got an open forum tonight for the rest of the show, so I know this was different than what we normally do for Real Questions, but it's good because sometimes we just have to pause for a moment and talk about some of the good things that are going on in and around our community. And, you know, and granted, I spent enough time talking about the other things that do exist. And granted, they need to be spoken about and they need to be harped on. But sometimes you just got to talk about the other possibilities just to give an inkling of hope to our young people, to let them know that, you know, you can still have a ray of sunshine, you know, and a glimmer of the other side of life. And I want you to all participate in it. Life is more than just this 5 mile radius and living in a box. And it's more than blighted housing and crime and, you know, and going back and forth in and out of the criminal justice enterprise. It's more than that. And so we want you to participate in all of it. 410-319-8888 is the number to call. I got some lines available for those of you who wanted to call through this week and get your pressing issue out. This is your chance to do it right now. One of the rare opportunities that we have. So we've got some lines available. In fact, most of them are, in fact, available. It won't be long, but they are available. So call us. And I'll let you talk about it. 410-319-8888. That's the number to call. Let's go to Theodore. Theodore, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
How are you, Mr. Brown?
Good.
Just wanted to give some information. I'd like to ask you a favor also. I'd like to, if you could, once a week when you come on, maybe for 2 or 3 minutes, not just to spark conversation, but to inform people, give a bit of information about what's going on in this budget for this abomination in the White House. And I'd like to give you some information. It's called, you might want to write this down, the Borrower's Defense Fund. Do you know what it is?
Yes, I do.
Okay, that was scheduled to go into effect July the 1st. Everybody under the sound of my voice and your voice who have been defrauded by schools going out of business and left with a big debt, that fund was going to give them a way to get their money back and even get the money to or from the college. Well, agreed to by Trump and Betsy DeVos, the education secretary, she stopped that. And that fund will allow you to recoup or recover funds that you lost when one of these for-profit schools shut down. And it would allow you to get your money back through that program that Mr. Obama brought into effect. And she stopped it. So you might want to double check if you were in the midst of that or if you had some hopes of getting your money back. Trump basically said they don't care about you. So that's why they stopped that program. And another point I like to bring up when people, sometimes I'll talk on the radio and they'll talk about people getting benefits and being helped by certain programs like SNAP and welfare. And they'll just, the thing on the right now is to say, well, you know, we'll give you, you know, you're sitting there taking somebody else's money. I just like, you know, the way I would answer them is this, the way I answer. You know, you got Kent Island and Tangier Island. They're sinking under the sea. They're now going to the state government and to the federal government, and if nobody out there looks like us, they're going to the state government and federal government to give them millions of my tax money and your tax money to shore up those islands that they don't sink. So if they want to see a program that my tax money supported, SNAP, WIC, which they're cutting, and other programs are in effect taking somebody else's money and giving it to people who don't deserve it, quote unquote, then I say the same thing about that situation with Smith, Kent, and Tangier Island. If they want tax money, if they want money to build up those places where most of us are not welcome, then they need to do it themselves. Don't take my money to give it to them. That's how I feel about that program. And that's it for me today. Thank you.
Thank you. I will say this much, that I know Kent Island had a large African-American population, and there's a large population of African-Americans who own waterfront property down in Kent Island, as well as other places on the Eastern Shore. So we have to make sure that we do all of our research to make sure that we have a clear understanding of who's getting what. Before, you know, we start saying that we don't want to see it happen. So, but let's delve a little bit more into it to see what we can come up with. 410-319-8888 is the number to call. I got an open forum right now for those of you who have been trying to get through and had something to say and just hadn't had a chance to do so because of the various topical discussions we've had. Tonight, this is your chance to get through. 410-319-8888 is the number to call. 410-319-8888 is that number. Thank you so much. Let's go to the phones. Good evening, caller. You're on the air. Clarence?
Oh, hello, Mr. Brown. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Yes, I'm fine. I take a different approach. I'm old and I'm broken up, but every once in a while, I'll walk through a store and I'll see a textbook or something, you know, and I will take it home and I will tear it apart and I will print various parts of it until I got 20 or 30 copies and just walk around the streets at random and give them away to kids. Now, I'm not interested in anybody's intellectual property rights when it comes to black children. That's what I'll do, and I'll continue doing it till I leave the planet. Okay? That's one way to tackle the problem. If you see something you like, just give it away. You know, if all of us were walking around doing that, it doesn't matter whether or not the kid uses it or not, but you gave them the opportunity. And if just one or two of them read that material and have a degree of success about it, you don't even need to know. You know, it'll manifest itself in progress for all of us somewhere down the line. Mr. Brown, this is just a personal opinion. WEAA, you know, it's right to allow whoever it wants on the airways, you know, that's inalienable. But I kind of take offense sometimes to people that come on and they use the Maya Angelou type voice in their writings and their speech, their points of view to try to instill that white populist, nationalist frame of mind in black folks. At this point in time when black people are getting shot down in the street and oppressed, you know, no, there's no, you can't get me in that I pledge of allegiance frame of mind. You know, it's just not, it's just like a Jedi mind trick. Now, that may be good for some of the white institutions where in the classroom where you teach at, but as far as that nationalist pledge of allegiance fall into this American ideal that is oppressing you, then I kind of take offense to that. I just wanted to say that, and I'm sure the people who come on the air on the radio station as co-hosts understand exactly what I'm talking about, you know, without mentioning any names. And thank you, Mr. Brown.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Clarence. 410-319-8888 is the number to call. Let's go to Marianne. Marianne, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, David. How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Yeah, I just wanted to speak a couple minutes. You know, they had a big meeting about who was going to be the monitor for this Department of Justice report in terms of monitoring what the police department is going to do.
For consent decree, yes.
Consent decree, exactly. And one of the people applying is the gentleman that used to be the chief of the Houston or Dallas Police Department, the black gentleman wears glasses. I think his last name is Brown as well. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Okay, well, he came to Baltimore. He's applying, and he was on Face the Nation today. And I want to advise everybody to go online and watch it because I came away from that with the impression that he should never be the monitor of the consent decree because he seems to say what he seems to understand is as long as he can make white people feel comfortable with him, then he can get whatever he wants. He's really not about making the police department accountable. He went into a whole long story about how when he was a little boy, he was in busing, and he had a classmate who invited him home for lunch, which was a nice story. But what does that have to do with being the monitor of a consent decree? You see what I'm saying? So I was deeply disappointed in that. What we need is transparency. The Journal of the American Medical Association about a couple of months ago actually issued a report that showed how many contacts with police by people had the person started out perfectly healthy, and after a contact with the police, they had to go to the emergency room, and they came to the conclusion that it was at least 57,000 contacts, and that's just in 1 year. So in other words, 57,000 people had a contact with the police, and after that contact with the police, they had to be taken to the emergency room.
Mm.
So I just want to warn people, they should watch, they can make their own decision, but they should watch him and see what he says on this show and understand that he's really about making white folks feel comfortable. He's not about monitoring the police department. That's my comment.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. 410-319-8888. Excuse me. I did not see the show this morning. Let's go to Kim. Kim, you're on the air.
Good evening, David, and your listeners.
Good evening.
I just want to make one announcement. This coming Tuesday, July 11th, at Liberty Rec Center at 3901 Main Avenue, we'll be holding a community forum, a town hall, on community-led solutions to violence. The fourth part, Garrison Community, has been just wracked with tragic killings, homicides. It is horrible. We need to come up with solutions. And I think there are people in Baltimore City who have great ideas, and I'd like them all to come. That's 6 p.m. on Tuesday.
Thank you, Ms. Truitt, as always. 410-319-8888 is the number to call. Raquel, you're on the air.
Hello, David, and hello, listeners. David, I have a question. Is there anyone out there who can give me a reason why Kevin Davis still has his job with the murder rate being so high and with Baltimore City having at least 2 or 3 killings a day? I'm going to hang up and listen.
Well, you're gonna get the same silence you got right now because I don't think anybody can tell you why. You know, I wish I had the answer to that one. I can only say this much, that if it had been others, they would have been gone a long time ago.
Right. What kind of relationship do he have with Catherine Pugh that she's keeping him in office? Because from what I was told, that between Catherine Pugh and the Greater Baltimore Committee, them two together could get him out, and we could at least try to see if there's someone else who could apply, who we could appoint. This is ridiculous. It really is. Every day, shock trauma wraps up 2 and 3 bodies, and they're black men. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Raquel. Thanks for your help, too, because you do a fantastic job down there.
Thank you,
of
David.
Saving lives.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, Raquel works at Shock Trauma, and I'm always giving thanks to Shock Trauma and other areas in the city because some of these emergency rooms are actually saving lives, and many of these shootings would actually end up murders if they hadn't saved their lives. So that's it. Listen, I, you know, Reverend Washington, sorry I didn't get to you tonight. I'll get to you perhaps next week. We'll get back to a regular listenership, but I just didn't want to be redundant tonight. I thought it would be better for us to talk about some stuff that's gone on a happier note than to continue down that same path. But listen, we've got to get ourselves together, and we've got to figure out how to do it. And I know there are think tanks and other organizations that are coming together to do better, but we've got to do it, and we've got to do it quickly. Thank you all for joining in tonight. Special thanks to Ty, my producer, who does a fantastic job week in and week out. I'm David Brown. Remember, having timely access to reliable information is the key to our survival. Join us again next week for another exciting edition of Real Questions. Good night, everyone.